Blog Talk Radio.
So, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us on Thinking Outside the Box with Dr. Susan Starler. And we had a wonderful week, just for anybody who's listening here. It was really a lot of fun. And last night we had our patient education lecture, and we were discussing how to save your child's future, how to save your child's brain. There were a lot of things that we discussed, and we had Mrs. Joan Engel on with us last night, and she was absolutely amazing. There were a few things that we didn't have time to go through, and I thought today would be a nice way to sort of wrap up and give you all a little bit more information with regard to what you can do nutritionally for individuals and children who are suspected of having or who actually have been diagnosed with having ADD or ADHD. There are really no known positive, absolutely, this is 100% what causes these types of issues, but there are some things that have been shown to contribute to easing the symptomatology and making those individuals, both children and adults, feel better. One of the things that we can do is avoid certain things that have been tagged as potential triggers. And I'm just going to go down the list and let you know what those potential things could be. So one of them is genetically modified foods. Anything that would potentially help to create what we call increased intestinal permeability or leaky gut can lead or contribute to symptoms that are the type where you would be considered ADD, attention deficit disorder, or ADHD, attention hyperactivity disorder. So the BT toxin in the genetically modified foods can contribute to the leaky gut. In addition, pesticides. Pesticides have something in there called glyphosate, which actually destroys the good bacteria in the gut. And when the good bacteria in the gut are compromised, that can also lead to leaky gut. Other things are processed sugars, anything that contains gluten, pasteurized dairy products, anything that would be considered an excitotoxin, like, for example, monosodium glutamate. Vaccines preserved with thimerosal, not so much the vaccines themselves, but actually the mercury preservative in the vaccines. Electromagnetic frequencies. There are genetic factors. There are bad trans fats. There's essential fatty acid deficiencies. Traumatic brain injury. That's something that's not discussed a lot. But when a child or an adult has had an injury to their brain, and especially if they've had a loss of consciousness, the inflammation that can result from that injury can actually have a feedback loop brain to gut and cause increased intestinal permeability. So you want to make sure that if that has happened, nutrients are being provided to the body, which can help to heal and facilitate repair. Maternal cigarette and alcohol use, either while pregnant or while the baby is still young and forming, that can contribute, and also heavy metal exposure. And I know it sounds a little bit frivolous, but seriously, don't let kids eat paint, and make sure you're being careful that they're not getting exposed to any mercury, excess of mercury, aluminum. So those are some of the things that we want to try to avoid or take care of. Now, one thing to consider is that a child's brain, by the age of 4, has reached 80% of its adult weight. By the age of 8, it's reached 90% of its adult weight. Mm-hmm. And by the age of 16, it's reached 100% of its adult weight. So what does this mean? Well, even when the brain is fully grown, the organization, the reprogramming, the development of new connections continues really for much longer and actually can continue for your entire life. But this can make, while this process, this organization and reprogramming and continuing to develop is occurring, the brain can be more vulnerable to the effects of environmental toxins. And exposure when the child is in utero, when the child is still a fetus, it can cause alterations in brain development that could later result in learning disorders or ADHD and even potentially schizophrenia later down the road in the late 20s. So time is the enemy. And if a child has been diagnosed with potentially having this, or one thinks that that might be an issue, what can you do? Well, there's a couple of different things that are considered mainstream. There's the conventional medical model, and this is where a child is medicated to decrease symptoms. Things that are used are, you know, pick it, there's amphetamines, sedatives, antipsychotics, there's beta blockers, there's behavioral therapy, or there's the hope they'll outgrow it. And by and large, some of these techniques have been moderately to not so successful. And sometimes they are successful. It really depends on what's going on. The alternative model, the alternative world, which is where I live, is where you involve the parents. You know, what are they eating? How is their home life? Are they given time to relax? Are they being read to at night? Are they having that one-on-one special time with the parent that makes a child feel secure? Is their brain being properly nourished? And what does that mean? Well, we talked a little bit, a couple minutes ago, about essential fatty acid deficiency. How does that happen? When bad fats, trans fats, French fries, potato chips, donuts, when those are introduced into the system, those kinds of fats actually inhibit the absorption of essential fatty acids. And essential fatty acids are called because they can't be made by the body. You actually have to consume those either with food or with supplementation in order to provide your body with certain building blocks. So the bad fats actually stop the absorption of the good fats that you need, and it sends messages along the nerve fibers in the brain and creates an agitation. So essential fatty acids are needed in order to help. And where do you get those? Well, I'm sure you've all heard of EPAs and DHAs, and the best source for these are fish oils. You can get fish oils and nutrient supplements that you can buy at the health food store. You can get fish oils from food, but you want to make sure that the brain has enough good essential fatty acids in order to replace the nutrients that help the nervous system to grow and regrow and nourish itself. Now, bad fats, just so that you know, because this is important, it isn't like, oh, I can have a French fry today, and if I'm really good for the next 2 days, I'll be okay. Here's the kicker. The half-life of trans fats is about 51 days, and it takes another 51 days for the body to completely eliminate those bad fats. But even after that, there's about a 25% residual. So if you're thinking about getting rid of all the trans fats that you have as a result of having that bag of French fries, the bad effects are going to basically last about 102 days. That's, you know, 2.5 months. That's a long time. Now, the good fats also have a half-life, and it's approximately 18 days. And what that means is that most individuals who are trying to use essential fatty acids to help calm down the nervous system will actually see a positive effect within the first 2.5 weeks. So that's something to think about, you guys. Okay, what else? Well, you want to eliminate processed dairy. You want to eliminate gluten. And I've beat the gluten thing to death. So if anybody has any questions, feel free to call me at the office or shoot me an email. The office number is 310-571-1212, and the email is drsusan, that's D-R-S-U-Z-A-N, at Starler, starler.com. But you want to eliminate gluten. You want to eliminate processed sugar, not fruits. I'm talking the kind that comes in, oh, soda pop, candy bars, donuts, bread, and that incorporates gluten as well. A lot of the energy bars out there have honey. You want to limit and cut that out. And why is that? Because everybody wants to know, why should I do that? Well, sugar depletes essential minerals and vitamins, which are necessary for the good fat absorption. They also eliminate, or they eat up vitamin Bs, they eat up calcium, they eat up magnesium. And how does that happen? Well, sugar needs to use these things in order to digest. So when you have sugar and you dump it into your body has to utilize a whole bunch of other really good stuff in order to utilize that sugar. So let's just absorb the good stuff, eliminate the sugar, and move forward. Excess sugar absorption, you know, it can potentially lead to juvenile onset arthritis. It can decrease the immune system. And when you think about it, you know, 1 8-ounce can of soda pop contains about 6 teaspoons of sugar. That's 1 8-ounce can. That's not the Super Size Me size that you can get at some of the fast food places. Another thing to consider is, well, can you have just a little? Think about the part where I said sugar decreases the immune system. If you look at it, flu season, and I'm putting that in quotes, flu season starts at about, Halloween, and it ends at about, Easter. And when are you getting the majority of the sugar? Well, you're getting it in treats, and then you have the holidays, and you have more treats, and then you have Easter, and you have more treats, and then you have that period of time where there's not so many treats, and that's when flu season tends to calm down. So there I have it. Now I've beaten the sugar thing to death. Another thing that you can do is you can consider getting some probiotics. Probiotics actually help to make B vitamins, which are being used up when you eat sugar. There's various odd and sundry neurotransmitter support. Now, neurotransmitters are actually hormones for the brain. They start being made in the gut. For that, you may need a professional assistance in order to determine what exactly might be best. But neurotransmitters have lots of precursors. And just trying different ones here and there is really not the best way to go about it. If you can get somebody who can help your child and you make a decision as to what things you might be able to consume to facilitate that, that would be the best. And for the very last thing I'm going to throw out there is get your child adjusted. I know I talk a lot about nutrition. I talk very little about the benefits of chiropractic manipulation, but I am a chiropractor. And frankly, when you free up the nerve flow from the spine, you free up nerve flow to the brain, you free up nerve flow to all your essential organs, and things just run more smoothly. So those are some of the things that are important to consider when you're thinking about, okay, let's go ahead and see what we can do on our own to help the symptoms, whether or not you've been fully diagnosed, of ADD and ADHD. That's it for me for today, my dears. If anybody has any questions, again, you've got my phone number. You may email me. Please keep in touch. Remember to think outside the box when it comes to your health. And feel free to join us again next Friday. And I will talk to you all then. Take care and be well. Bye-bye.